Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Pei Zayin. We're already halfway down the Daf Pei Zayin Omer Aleph, right in the middle of the Daf Omer Rabba Omer Rav Chiya. It's in the middle of the Tosos L'Kavura, and we're learning today Lili Nishmas Sandra Pinsky Shulamis Basavra Moshe. All the shams we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we pick up again in the middle of Pei Zayin Omer Aleph, right next to the middle of the Tosos L'Kavura, where we're beginning with a statement by Rabba Omar Rabbi Chia. We'll have two statements in the name of Rabbi Chia. First one by Rabba, the next one by Rav Yosef. We'll have some then additional discussion about these statements. So first part of the shiur will be a number of different shitos that are said over partially in the name of Rabbi Chia and by others. So Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Chia, Rabba says the name of Rabbi Chia, Delo Neder U Delo Shvuah. If the husband says to his wife, I will give you the following, Delo Neder U Delo Shvuah. You won't have to make a neder to me, you won't have to make a shvuah to me. So who and Yechol Lashpia? So then he doesn't have the right to go and impose a shvuah upon his wife. In those situations, we normally would be allowed to make, obligate her to make a shvuah. Who and Yechol Lashpia? He can't, however, if he were to pass away, Avo Yarshin, Mashmianoso. But the people who come after him, his Yarshim, would be in fact allowed to go and make her make a shvuah. If, however, he uses the Lashon, Noki Neder, Noki Shvuah, you will be clean, you will be free of having to make a Neder, you will be clean or free of having to make a Shvuah, so that implies that not only he won't make her make a Shvuah, but even his descendants, even his Yarshim. Bein Hu, or Bein Yarshim, both he or his Yarshim, Ein Mashmim, so don't have the right to make her obligated in a Shvuah, because when he says this Lashon of Naki Neder, Naki Shvuah, he's basically saying, Hachi Karma Law, Menakis Mishvuah. So I'm making you totally free from having to make a Shvuah, not by me and not by my children. So Rashi says, this is Midin Shvuah. I'm totally absolving you from having to make a Shvuah under any circumstances, including that from a Yarshim. On the other hand, Rav Yosef has a different understanding, also said that in the name of Rav Chiya. So Rav Machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef as to what Rav Chiya said. So Rav Yosef says the name of Rav Chiya, when the person says, the husband says to his wife, Delo Neder V'lo Shvuah, I agree with you. That means who? En Yochol Lashpia, Avo Yosh Mashpi Moso. So that they're in agreement on. Rav Yosef and Rabba, both of Rav Chiya said that if he uses the Lashon of Delo Neder U Delo Shvuah, there will be no Neder and no Shvuah. It means from himself unto his wife, but the children, the Yarshim, would be able to make her make a Shvuah. But here's where they have the machlokes. Here, Rav Yosef says, Rav Chiya says as follows. When he uses the lashon of Naki Neder, Naki Shvuah, you'll be clean of a Neder. You'll be clean of a Shvuah. So that means, no, that absolutely either he or his children are allowed to obligate her in a Shvuah. Bein Hu Bein Yorshim, Mashbin Osa. They are allowed to go and have her make a Shvuah. Why is that? What does the word Naki Neder Naki Shvuah mean? Hachi Kamala. This is what he's telling to her. If you want to be free, Naki Navshach Bishvuah. So go and free yourself, clean yourself by going making a Shvuah. In other words, we have the right to go and make a Shvuah for you. Okay. So these are the two first opinions that are set over by Rabbi Neruchia and Rav Yosef Neruchia. We have a third opinion now. Shalach Rabbi Zakkai Limar Ukva. Rabbi Zakkai sent over the following to Mar Ukva, and he said, Bein de lo shvuah, bein de naki shvuah, bein de lo neder, bein de naki neder. Whichever lashon you used, that we seem to have had a difference of opinion between Rabba and Rav Yosef, but certainly Rav Chiya himself had a distinction as to what that distinction was. That was the machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, but he had a distinction over here between saying Naki Neder, Naki Shvuah versus the original lashon of Delo Neder, Delo Shvuah. But according to Rav Zakkai, when he sent this to Mar Okva, he said it doesn't make any difference. Any of these lashonos that you use, whether you use the lashon of Lo Neder, Lo Shvuah, whether you use the lashon of Naki Neder, Naki Shvuah, if he says the word B'nechasai with my, the key word there is the possessive lashon of Nechasai, my stuff, my nechosim, my possessions, who ain't Yechol Ashbiya, then he can't make an obligation for her to have a shvuah to him, but the Yarshim can. Avo Yarshim Ashbiya Osa, because this was only my, the possessive form of the word nechosai, my stuff, you have to be, you're free for making a shvuah on, under any lashon that he uses, but the Yarshim can. But when he uses the lashon, if he uses the verbiage of minchasaya, Elaine, from these properties, not saying they're my properties, saying from these properties. So these properties, she's never going to have to make a shvua on, whether Bain who, whether he's the one asking her to make the shvua, or Bain Yarshav, or even his descendants, his Yarshav, none of them, not he, not they, Ein Mashbinosa, have the right to make her make a shvua. So there's a third approach over here, that is that it depends on the language of Nechosai versus Nechsaya Elaine. My, which implies only he's involved over here in freeing her from a shvua, but the Yerushim can, whereas he says that from these properties, he's implying that you're not going to have to make a shvua on these properties, whether it's from me or from my Yerushim. Finally, we have the fourth opinion, and that's Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel says, Mishum Abba Shol ben Ima Miriam. And he says this over in the name of the Tana, Abba Shol ben Ima Miriam. Abba Shol was referred to over here as the son of Ima Miriam. Doesn't tell us who this Ima Miriam was, but it's a little bit like Abba Shol. It means his father, Shol. So here, his mother's name was Miriam. Don't know much about her. In any event, Abba Shol was a Tana, and in this situation, he is quoted just as a Tana by Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. In a moment, we'll have a variant of this opinion, which actually quotes a Braisa that Abba Shol says, and Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel will paskin like that Braisa. In any event, there's a slight difference between an Amora quoting a Shmaisa, a statement of a Tana, versus an Amora quoting a Braisa. The Braisa has a little bit more weight than just a quote from the Tana. In any event, the first verse that we have is Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel saying in the name of Abba Shol ben Ima Miriam the following. Whether the person uses the Lashon, the husband uses the Lashon to his wife, Bein Delo Shvua, Bein Dinoki Shvua, Bein Delo Neder, Bein Dinoki Neder, whichever Lashon he uses of these four possibilities, whether he uses the Lashon, Bein Minichsai, or Bein Minichsaya Elaine, doesn't make a difference according to Abba Shol. He disagrees with Rav Zakkai when he sent to Mar Okva. He disagrees that it makes a difference whether he uses the Lashon of my, the possessive form of my Nechasim, or these Nechasim. According to this version of Abba Shol, Beinu uBein Yarshav ain Mashbinosa. Under any usage over here, it means that he nor his children have the right to make him make a shvua. That's the din. However, Abba Shol then said, "But what can I do? The rabbis changed around the din. What can I do? L'maisa, by the principle of hefker based in hefker, the rabbis have the right in monetary matters to go and say, we think this is best for our society. And Abu Maya said, what can I do? Because as we'll learn in the next Mishnah, Shari Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim came along and made a takana here. And they said, anybody that wants to come and collect, whenever you come in to collect from Yisomim, in order to protect the Yisomim, who don't know anything that went on with their business, and they could be robbed blind by somebody who says, yeah, I have this document. But the father had actually then paid back the document, and somehow he didn't get the document back, or any other numerous scenarios. If you're coming to collect from Yisomim, the rabbis were mesakin lo yipora el bishvur. You must make a shvur to say that you haven't been paid back, because the children, they could be gedolim, they love dafka the dektanim, but they don't know their father's business. And therefore, somebody could be coming along over here with a total made-up claim that was not at all able to be collected. If the father had been there, he would know how to stop them from collecting it. So therefore, the descendants, the Yarshim, they have the right to demand the shvur no matter what. And Basin will even advocate on their behalf, even if they don't demand it, and insist that you can only collect with the shvur when you're collecting from your Yisomim. So therefore, from the actual law shown, Abba Shol says you theoretically would free the woman from a shvur to either the husband or the Yarshim. But if you're coming to collect from Yisomim, the rabbis made a takana that in all situations when you're collecting from Yisomim, whatever Lashon the father used is irrelevant. If you're collecting from Yisomim, there is a need for a shvur. That's the first version that we had, that Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel just quoted this in the name of Abba Shol. In the second opinion, we have a Braisa. Vika de Amri Lo Masnisa. This was actually a Braisa that Abba Shol stated, Beferish. Abba Shol ben Ima Miriam Amar, he said in the Braisa, get bein de lo shvua, bein de noki shvua, bein de lo neder, bein de noki neder, bein minichsayu, bein minichsayu ilay. Any of these lishonos that there was machlokas on previously, he says the halach is bein hu, bein yarshav, ein mashbinosa. You can't go and make a shvua, neither he nor his yarshav. However, of all the rabbis came along, of all moesa, what can I do? The rabbis came along and made this takana. As Rashi points out again, the la'olam yarshin mashbinosa, emesu, vihi nifras mehem, that the yarshim can go and make anybody make a shvua if somebody comes to go and collect from Yashim, and this version, this brisa of Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, it says halacha given imam miriam, he paskins like this brisa. Okay, so those are the 4/5 different versions that we have over here of what the halacha is in these various statements. Now we go to the next mishnah. Hapogemes ksubasa. We already had this previously. If a woman is pogemes her ksuba, that means that there's a ksuba and she admits to having taken part of it already, having been paid part of it. So she's pogemes, she's diminishing, she's saying, yes, the ksuba was worth $100,000, but I already took $10,000, so you only owe me $90,000. So in that situation, any woman who comes along, the Mishnah says, hapogemes ksubasa, who already admits that part of the ksuba is paid up, so then loti para el b'shua. Then she has to go and make a shvua that the rest of it was not paid, and only then can she go collect the rest of it. If likewise, eid echod me'ido shipua, so the husband says that I paid you. She says you didn't pay me at all. So normally she would just collect the ksuba. She has a document, so she doesn't have to worry about the husband saying I paid it already. However, if there's a witness, one, not two. If there are two witnesses, then she wouldn't be able to collect. But there's only one witness. Now, one witness can't go and reverse a document, but one witness can go make a obligation for her to make a shvu. And that's exactly what our Mishnah tells us. One witness comes along and says, yeah, the husband did pay her back the ksuba. And she says, no, he didn't. In that situation, lo tipora ela b'shvu. Then she has to make a shvu in order to collect. She does have the shtar, but the fact that a witness came along that makes us a little bit hesitant to just give it to her, and therefore the rabbis instituted that she make a shvua, and only after she makes a shvua is she allowed to go and collect. The Gemara will discuss exactly what the status is of this shvua. Likewise, under the following three cases, where anybody's collecting from Yisomim, from the properties that the Yisomim inherited, or if somebody owes somebody money, but they don't have any money. So then, if there were liened properties, in other words, properties that they had sold after the date of that IOU, for example, so then the one who lent the money has the right to go and collect his debt from those properties. He had a prior lien on those properties before the person who purchased them has the right to them. So if you're collecting from these lien properties, you also have to make a shvua, because the person who purchased them, he wants definitive evidence that you have it. So the shtar isn't enough. He wants a shvua that you weren't paid back. And likewise, if you're collecting from somebody and he's not there, say a woman is collecting a ksuba from her husband and the husband's not there. So in that situation, Beis Din will institute that she has to make a shvua in order to collect her ksuba. So in all of these situations, when you're collecting from your settlement, when you're collecting from properties that were already sold to somebody else but had a lien on them, or if you're collecting from somebody and he's not there, so then, lo tipora el b'shvua. In all these situations, the woman wouldn't be allowed to go collect her ksuba, for example, without making a shvua in these situations. Now, that's the introductory part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah will now go and discuss each of these cases that we just spoke about in a little bit more detail. And it gives us, what is the case of Habogemes Ksubasa? Ketzad. What is the case, the first case that we had in the Mishnah, where the woman was pogemes her ksuba? So I already explained this outside, now we'll see it inside. What exactly does it mean? For example, her ksuba is worth 1,000 zuz. For Amar Lo, and her husband says, his kabalti ksuba sech. I gave you your ksuba, so I don't owe you the ksuba. What are you talking about? You're collecting your ksuba. I already paid you the ksuba. And she says, no, you didn't. I agree, you paid me part of it. The Elmer's, the wife says, lo is kabalti alamola. Yes, you paid me something. You're not a total liar, but you only gave me 100. You gave me a mana, and in fact, you owe me 10 mana. You owe me 1,000 zuz. A mana is 100 zuz, so you owe me 10 mana. You only paid me 1 mana. So in my case, where the ksuba is worth $100,000, she says, I only got 10,000. I got 1/10 of it. So then she wants to collect the other 90,000. She wants to collect the other 9 mana, lo tipara el b'shvua. Then she has to make a shvua. So that's the explanation of case 1, Apogamas ksubasa. Case number 2, we had where there was an eid echad who testified along with the husband that she received the ksuba. So the Mishnah tells us, eid echad meidah shipura ketzah. What is that case where the eid echad comes along? So, ha'isa ksuba so elav zuz. Again, let's assume the ksuba is 1,000 zuz, 10 mana. For Amar Lo, and the husband tells his wife, his kabalti ksuba sech, I paid you already. The Hiyomers, and she says, lo is kabalti, I got nothing. Here she says, I got nothing. So she would normally win, hands down, and wouldn't have to make a shvua. She has a shtar. He's just saying, I paid you, but she's saying, no, you didn't. There's no witnesses at all under normal circumstances. She collects without having to make a shvua. But here, the Eidecha B'ido Shipruah, here, you have a single witness that comes along and agrees with the husband, yes, he paid her, I was there. So in this situation, even though two witnesses aren't present, so it doesn't ruin the document, but the rabbis instituted Loti Parah El B'Shvuah. In this situation, if she wants to go collect her Ksuba, she has to make a Shvuah. Finally, now we explain the last case in the Mishnah, in the ratio of the Mishnah, which was, if you want to collect from any of these three people, Minichasim Mishubadim. So we first start off with that, and then we'll explain the others. So if you want to go and collect from Nichasim Mishubadim, so Ketzad, under what circumstances do you collect from Nichasim Mishubadim? So, Machai Nichasim Liachayim. So Reuven had lent Shimon $1,000. So Shimon owes him $1,000, and Shimon has properties that are present at that point in time. So they're now all leaned if you can't pay back with cash, so those properties are able to be used to collect the IOU. Now, subsequently, Shimon sells it to Levi. Now, Levi is the one in possession of these lands. And when the debt is due, so in that situation, the debt, if it can't be collected from Shimon, Reuven would have the right to go and collect from the properties of Levi. That's the general rule of Nechasim Mishubadim. So here, we're not dealing with an IOU of money, we're dealing with a ksuba. So in this situation, the woman got married 10 years ago, and she is, at that point in time, all of his properties that he has from that point in on are leaned to her ksuba. Then 5 years later, he sells one of these properties to Levi. And now, he divorces her, but he has no cash to pay her. So these properties, anything that he has, goes first to pay her for a ksuba. But he has nothing. But he did sell it to Levi 5 years earlier. That property was meshubet. So in this situation, we're dealing here, Mochai Nechasel Yachayim, the husband had sold properties after the marriage to Levi, and she has the right to go and collect from those if he doesn't have any money or properties now to go pay the ksuba. So in this situation, the rabbis also instituted Loti Parah El Bishua. She has to go pay, if she wants to go collect the ksuba, she has to go make a shvua before she can get paid her ksuba. Likewise, Minichse Yisomim Ketzad, what's the case where she's allowed to go and collect from the Yisomim? Now, I don't know why in the Mishnah, the Nichse Yisomim was in the Reisha, was listed first, and the Nechasim Mishubadim case is listed second. I don't know why they switched around the order, but in any event, what's the scenario? She wants to go collect from the Yisomim, she has to make a Shvua. So that's a regular case where the husband died, and obviously all his property goes over to his male children, if he has male children, or his daughters, if he doesn't have any male children. So the Yisomim, his Yarshim, now own all of his properties. And she says, okay, I want to collect my ksuba. She's allowed to live in the husband's house, the dead husband's house. She's allowed to be supported by them. But she says, no, I want to get remarried again. So I'm willing to go collect my ksuba and move on with my life. So she wants to go collect the ksuba from the Yisomim. So he nifras min Yisomim. She has the right to halachically collect from the Yisomim her ksuba. So lo tipar al b'shua. So the rabbis instituted that she can't go and collect without making a shua. And finally, the third of those cases in the Sefer of the Reisha of the Mishnah, Pshishalo b'fanav, if a woman wants to go collect when her husband's not there, Kate said, what is that case? So for example, her husband divorced her, but then he went off, l'medina sayam, halach l'medina sayam, the husband's not there, he has some guardianship over his estate, somebody is in charge of his estate, he's not there, so she goes and wants to collect the ksuba from the person that's in charge of his estate. He's alive, but he's not there. So halach lo medina sayam, he nefrash lo b'fanav. So she wants to go get collect the ksuba. She goes to the base and says, listen, tell the guardian to go pay me my ksuba. So in this situation as well, and on nefrash lo b'shvuah, she's only allowed to go and collect the ksuba if she makes the shvuah. And the reasoning behind all of these is because the yisomim, or the lekuchos, or the apotropos in charge of the man's estate while he's overseas, don't know any of the details. And for all they know, she may have been paid her ksuba. If the husband was here, he would have said, of course I paid you. The Yisomim don't know that. And the husband would have proof. And if the lekuchos don't know, or maybe if the husband himself had been able to come forward, he would say, listen, those lekuchos, they're really free because I paid her back. And here's the document. She said she lost her ksuba, so I have a shover that says I paid her back. And in the case, when he's not there, likewise, the apotropos doesn't know this. So in all of these situations, since there's the possibility that he really paid her back, so therefore we make her go and collect her ksuba only with a shvua. Okay. Mishnah continues on Pezayin Amid Beis with the final part of the Mishnah. Here we have a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer calls man shehi tovas ksubosa, hayorshim mashbiin osa. Under all circumstances, when she collects her ksuba, the yorshim always are allowed to go and make her swear. But until that point in time when the woman wants to collect the ksuba. Like I said already previously, if she wishes to, she's allowed to live in her ex-husband's house or dead husband's house, obviously the divorce not, but if you're dealing here with a debt, so she's allowed to live there and be nizonis from the estate. She doesn't have to go collect her ksuba. So they can only demand that she make a shur that she hasn't gotten her ksuba if, in fact, she's demanding her ksuba. But if she never demands her ksuba, so then she's, in fact, entitled to live there without having to make a shvuah. Okay, that's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts to discuss it. Savar Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama thought to say that this shvuah that she has to make in the Reisha of the Mishnah was Lemeimar shvuah daraisa. He thought to say that this was a shvuah daraisa of Moda b'miktsas. Why? Because the Kartoin Masayin, the husband is saying 200 zuz, is the amount of money that I paid you. And she says, she says, I only got 100, but that means you didn't pay me the other 100. Now, in our Mishnah, I don't know why Gemara switches it around, our Mishnah had the case of 1,000 versus 100. Okay, so here it's 200 versus 100. It's the same idea. The money value is irrelevant. It's the principle. So the husband's saying, I paid you the entire amount of the ksuba. I guess the standard ksuba was 200. Mono Messiah. So therefore, standard ksuba for Besula was 200, and that's without any Tosefes ksuba. So that's why the Mistama Rami Rachama, when he said that this is the scenario, that's what he based it on. In any event, the husband says, I gave you the 200, and she says, no, you only gave me 100. So she's Mode b'miktsas, so to say. Habile hodo b'miktsas ataina. This is the famous idea of a shvuas Mode b'miktsas. If you're admitting to half of it, so then you make a shvua and don't have to pay the other half. So this is the same idea. Since she is admitting to part of it, but not admitting to the other part, so Rami Bar Chama says this is the shvuas mode b'miktsas, which is shvua daraisa. Now, Rava disagrees. Amar Rava says, I'll show you two reasons why you're wrong. Shtei tshuvas b'dover. Now we're going to have the same exact machlokas later on. So these stories probably occurred at the same time. It's not two separate events that happened, and we're only relating them separately. But we'll see another story that was almost identical to this, where the same answer is given by Rava, that's incorrect. So Rava says to Rami Rachama, Shtei tshuvas b'dover, two reasons why you're wrong. Number one, chada, the kol hanishbarin shebetorah, whenever the Torah says somebody's obligated to make a shvuah. For example, as Rashi brings down, if somebody says, v'lo kach be'olah, v'lo yishalem, in a case where somebody was a shomer for somebody else, and certain claims were made against us. Let's say this case is talking about a chumash, he's a shomer sachar. So he would be obligated in Gneva of Yaveda. He's a paid watchman, so he has to go and make sure there wasn't Gneva Veda. But the animal died. He says the animal died, nothing to do with Gneva of Yaveda. And he makes a shvua. If he makes a shvua, so then, lo yishalim, he doesn't have to go and pay. Otherwise, he would have to pay, because we have proof that he was a shomer sachar. So therefore, in the case where a person makes a shvua, he doesn't have to pay. So Rava says, the shvua in the Torah is based upon this, and it's only making a shvua not to pay. But this woman is making a shvua to get paid. That's not a Torah shvua. That's a dirabbanon shvua, as Rava will tell us in a moment. So number one, why it's not a Torah shvua, modu b'miktsas, because modu b'miktsas is when you're making a shvua that doesn't make you have to pay. And here, she's making a shvua that allows her to get paid. So therefore, that's why it's different. Number two, he says, furthermore, a nishban akfiras shibud karkos. As Rashi tells us over here, at the end of the Dibra Maskol of Nishban v'lo mishalman, he says, kol shtaros shibud karkos hein. All shtaros have a lien on karka. And the Einish Bana Karkos, there is a rule that, let's say, for example, somebody says, you owe me two of those pieces of property of yours. They're really mine. I let you use them for a year, and now I want them back. Two houses of mine that I gave to you to rent. And he says, no, I own them. So the guy says, no, listen, one of them you own, but the other one is mine. So that's a mode of a mitzvah, but it's dealing with karka, and therefore it's a shtar. Karka and shtar, there's a shibud on the properties, so there is no din of moda b'miktsas in that situation. So this is also, the ksuba is inherently going to be paid with any karka that the person has. That's what's supporting the payment of the ksuba, the karka that he has at any point in his marriage, or even if he sold it, there's a lien on the karka, so therefore there is no moda b'miktsas shvua. So For these two reasons, Rava tells Rabbi Rachama, you're wrong, it's not a Shuah D'Oraisa, El Amar Rava Midrabanan. It's a Shuah that the rabbi set up over here, because the Para Diek, the Mifra Lo Diek. Because just look at the psychological understanding over here. When a man pays back a debt, he knows exactly how much he paid back. Whereas a person who receives it may not be so careful to go and count. Okay, yeah, here's the $100 you owe me, thank you. Whereas the person who gives it knows, I gave him exactly $100. So therefore, the husband, when he's claiming, I gave you the ksuba, he knows exactly how much he paid for the ksuba. Whereas the woman may not have been so medaktik, because she's the one receiving it. That's the psychology of it, according to Rava. And therefore, the rabbis instituted the Rabbi Rabbanu Shvua law, ki hechi de teiduk. They said, everybody should know that if you're the one receiving the money, you may have to make a shvua. So be more careful. This way, when you do make a shvua, you can state with certainty, yes, I did receive it, I counted it up, I checked, it was only 100, it wasn't the 200, and therefore, this will ensure that the appropriate payments are being made, and nobody's trying to get away with anything, nobody's trying to do any trickery over here, because we'll be medaktik now that they know that they're going to have to make a shvua, so we'll be medaktik to know exactly how much she got, and therefore, when she does have to make a shvua, she'll be able to state it with certainty. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Brachama and Rava. Why now? Asked Ibaylu. They asked the following: Shailah beis medrash pogemes ksubaso bi edim. Mahu? What happens if the woman does this pogemes ksuba? So she says, in the case of the Mishnah, the husband had 1,000 zuz, and she says, the husband said, I paid you 1,000 zuz. She says, no, I only got 100. No, it's still only 900. So in this situation, where she's pogemes in her ksuba, so clearly the Mishnah said she'd have to make a shua. But if she did this with Adim, she says, I have proof that these two witnesses were there when I got 100 zuz. So I'm pogamis my ksuba, she says, but I have witnesses that what I'm saying is right. So therefore, in this situation, do we say, mahu, what's the halacha? Im iso de paro, be'edim avi parlo. Since we already see that the husband, when he paid the ksuba, did it in front of Adim, so can we assume that Mistama, if he had given the other 900, he also would have done that in front of Adim? That's his nature. He doesn't trust her, so he gave her the 100 in front of Adim, so can we assume that she's actually correct, that he didn't give her the other 900, because he's already shown that he doesn't trust her, so he gave her the 100 in front of Adim. Mistama, he would have given the other 900 in front of Adim. If he doesn't have proof of that, so then she's right, and she shouldn't have to make a shua. Because she could argue, in Isa de Para, Be'edim Havi Parla, he Mistama would have had witnesses for the other 900. And the fact that he doesn't, so he must be lying, and I don't have to make a shua. Or do we say, no, this is the rule of Pokemis Ksubasa. And why did the first 100 have witnesses? He came over to her house to give her the 100, and there happened to be two people there that were witnesses, but Lav Dafka that he arranged to have witnesses there. Odilma, Isrume, Isramile. It just so happened that there were witnesses there, but he wasn't saying, oh, I don't trust you. Here's your 100. Oh, the two witnesses, he goes, okay, watch. But the other 900, he says, I gave to you. There happened not to have been two witnesses there. So if you're Pogamis Miksubasa, you still have to make a shua. That's the question they asked in the base medrash, and the more brings a brisa to answer it. Toshma, we have the following brisa. It's from Shavuos, and the Braisa tells us, Kol HaNishbayim Shabbatar. We had this the other day as well. Kol HaNishbayim Shabbatar HaNishbayim Lo Mishamim. Normally, when you make a shua in the Torah, like we just brought down earlier, it's to prevent you from having to pay. But in the following situations, the rabbis instituted a shvua that allows you to make the shua and go and collect with that shvua. The Elu Nishbayim Venotan, these are Midirabanan, all situations where the rabbis allowed a person to make a shvua to go and collect. Normally, you make a shvua to go and pay. Here, you're making to not have to pay. Here, you're making a shvua to go and collect. What are these situations? Ve'elu nishbam in Otlin. So, hasocher. We'll go through Rashi on most of these because it explains it very nicely. So, Rashi says, this case of a socher. So, the hired worker. Amlo ten li schari v'omer nasati. So, the worker goes to the boss and says, listen, pay me my salary. And the boss says, I already paid you. So in this situation, the rabbis instituted that the worker can just make a shvua and collect, because we assume that the boss is very busy, or the worker is very much aware that he didn't get paid. The boss has to pay 100 people. So maybe he forgot to give this guy. He can't guarantee for sure that the boss knows it. So in this situation, the rabbi said, let the socher go and make a shvua, and he can go collect. Likewise, the nigzal, Rashi says, so they see somebody going into his house, and the guy says, hey, you stole my vase, give me back my vase. And the guy says, no, I went into your house, but I didn't take your vase. Now there are witnesses here that see that he came out, they saw he came out with something, a bag underneath his cloak, they couldn't see what it was. So in this situation, the one who had it stolen from him just has to make a shvua, and he can go collect from this ganav. Okay. If somebody went into a house. Rosh nichnas lesoch beiso. He went inside somebody's house. The yadu shalom. He had there. His hand was not broken when he went in. The yatzah chovel. And he comes out of that house with a broken arm. So amalo chaval to be. And he says, hey, the guy in the house broke my arm. And the guy in the house said, no, I didn't break his arm. So in this situation, the nechba, the one who was beaten up, the one who had his arm broken, is allowed to go and make a shua to go and collect for the damages for his broken arm. Likewise, the rabbi said, we had this the other day with Rav's wife, the daughter of Chista. So we had said, in that situation, she said, oh, this woman is suspected of making false shuas. So Rav turned it around and made the other person make the shua and be able to collect instead of her swearing falsely and not paying. So whenever the Rav, the dayan in the situation, sees that one of the persons is suspected of making a false shua, ushikenegdo choshal ashua, so the person who's supposed to make the shua is suspected of being a liar, so then the Rav is allowed, the dayan is allowed to go switch it around and make the other person make the shua to go collect. Normally, the person would have made the shua not to pay. Here, the Rav can switch it around, the dayan can switch it around and make the person who is claiming the money make a shua and collect based upon that. Likewise, v'chen v'ani al pinkoso. What is this? Rashi tells us, a man writes down, in the storekeeper, he writes down in his ledger, shikosibo hakafoso. He writes down all the IOUs that are due to him, and he says, in his ledger, it says, kach tzivoni ploni lo sesapolov. So, Reuven is a storekeeper. Shimon came to him and said, listen, go pay Levi, my worker, and I'll pay you back. So, Reuven dutifully goes and pays Levi, writes it down, and then he goes to Shimon to collect. And Shimon says, but Levi told me you never paid him, so why should I pay you? So in this situation, the Chenvani says, it's written in my ledger that I paid him. I know my ledger. If I wrote something down there, it's absolutely true. And I know I paid him. So therefore, in this situation, we allow both Reuven, the Chenvani, to make a shvua that he paid Levi. We allow Levi to make a shvua that he wasn't paid, and both of them will collect from poor Shimon. So Shimon will have to pay twice. Somebody's obviously lying over here, but the halacha is that in this situation, the rabbis instituted a shvua because Mestama, the Chenvani, is not lying because he has it written down in his ledger. And he says, I'm a very exact bookkeeper here. I wouldn't write it down. The workers, as we said before, are always believed to say they haven't been paid. And therefore, Shimon has to pay Reuven for paying the workers, and he has to pay the workers without getting paid. Okay. Finally, if somebody goes and states, yes, I had this document here, but I did receive partial payment for it. And this partial payment was without Adim. So in that situation, the rabbi said that we allow him to go and swear on the rest of the document that it hasn't been paid, and he can go collect on it. Since in this situation, he did say that part of it was paid. So it's like Pogemus Ksubasa. So rabbis instituted that he has to make a shua. But the Bryce, it tells us, and here's the kicker, it tells us, Shalom be'edim. In only if there are no witnesses do we require a shua, but the Adim, if there were witnesses to this part, so then we do not allow him, we don't require him to go make a shua to go and collect the rest of it. Isn't that exactly the same case as the woman of the ksuba? She was paid the 100 of the ksuba with Adim, so therefore in that situation she should be able to collect the other 900 without having to bring a shua because there are no Adim on it. So the Brisa seems to answer our question. Moore says, Lomi boy, come on. No, this Brisa doesn't necessarily answer the question because Lomi boy be'edim. You didn't have to tell me the case if there were edim present. Divide tzvich shvua. Certainly she needs a shvua. But the chiddush of the Brisa is, avol shelo be'edim, even if there are no edim, I might have said, Ema teheve kemeshav aveda. I might have thought that she is like a woman who returns an aveda that she found. So if you find somebody's wallet, and he says, thank you very much, with $100,000 in my wallet. He says, no, there's only $50 in the wallet. So we don't make him make a shvua of mother mix us in that situation because, listen, he was a good Samaritan. He was doing something nice over here to return the wallet. And now you're going to make him make a shvua, then he's going to say, next time, I ain't returning the wallet. So therefore, I might have said, Emo, to have a Kameshav Aveda, that she should be considered like Kameshav Aveda by admitting that part of it was paid back. So therefore, you could say, therefore, believer, the other part is not paid back and she shouldn't have to make a shvua. V'tishko below shvua. Therefore, Kamash Lon, the Bryce is telling us, no, even in a situation where there were no Adim, we nevertheless still make her make a shvua. Certainly, if there were Adim, we make her make a shvua. But even if there are no Adim, we don't compare this to a Meshav Aveda and we'd make her make a shvua here as well. There's the following Shaila Beis Medrash. Yibaluhu hapogemes ksubasa pachos mishava pruta. If a woman goes and says, yes, I got paid back my ksuba, but in very, very, very small amounts, so each time it's less than a shava pruta. So is that called pogemes or ksuba or not? Mahu. What do we say is the halach in this situation? Do we say, mi amrinon kivon deko daiko kuliai? She was so specific. She said over here, listen, I know on this day you paid me, half a pruta. And on this day, you paid me a half a pruta. On this day, you paid me half a pruta. So she's so specific. So, Mistama, Kushta, Karma, she must be telling us the truth. She's so medactic over here. Or do we say, no, Dilma? The whole idea, she's so medactic, is to trick us. She really got the oksuba. And now she say, well, I got this dollar there, I got this dollar there, and altogether, it only added up to 100, and not, you owe me another 900. So she's doing this as a trick. By being so medactic, she's basically tricking us. Oh, Dilma, yarume, koma arma. So which way do we say? Do we say she's so medactic, she knows every single penny, and therefore it must be telling us the truth? Or do we say, no, she's fooling us by being so medactic, and in fact, she really was paid the whole thing? And Mora says, Teku, we don't have an answer to this question. Mora continues and asks the following shaila in the base med, Rishi Barlu, they asked, Po cheses ksuba sumahu. What happens if not po gemes, she's po cheses? What does that mean? Mahu, what's exactly the case? So do we say, if the woman says, her husband says the ksuba is worth $1,000, she says, no, you didn't pay me, and he says he paid it to her. And she says, no, you didn't pay me anything, but the ksuba is not worth $1,000. Ksuba is only worth $500. So that she's pocheses, she diminishes the value of the ksuba, but she doesn't say any of it's repaid. So it's not a motive of mitzvah. She's saying, no, you're wrong. The ksuba is only worth 100 and not 1,000. And therefore, she's pocheses ksuba so mahu. So what's the halacha in this situation? Do we say, mi amrin hainu pogemes? This is no different than pogemes. She's basically saying, no. He's saying, I paid you the full $1,000. And she's saying, no, you owe me 100 still. So it's like mode b'mitzas, and it's pocheses b'ksuba. And therefore, pogemes, pocheses are the same thing. Do we say that, mi amrin hainu pogemes? Or do we say, no, odilma, pogemes mojo b'mitzas. When you're pogame the ksuba, husband says, I paid you the full $1,000. She says, no, only gave me 100. You owe me 900. So in that situation, that's a modo b'mitzas equivalent. And therefore, that's what she has to make sure. But here, ha lo ko modo b'mitzas. She's not admitting to anything. She's saying, no, you owe me the full kasuba. You're just wrong. You're saying the kasuba is 1,000. I'm telling you, I'm honest. It's only 100. So the Gemara asks, what's the halach in this situation? So we bring the following brisa, Toshma. If the woman minimizes the ksuba, but doesn't admit to having been paid any of it, then she does, in fact, is entitled to go collect without making a shvua. Because, for example, Ketzad, what are we talking about? The ksuba was worth 1,000 zuz. And the husband says to her, I gave you the 1,000, and therefore I'm free and done. And she says, what are you talking about? I never got anything from you. However, by the way, I'm being honest, you don't owe me 1,000, they know elamone, you only owe me 100. And therefore, in that situation, the Brisa says, Nefrash lo b'shua, she's allowed to go collect, she's not a modeh b'mitzas, she's saying, you didn't pay me anything, and she has a shtar, the ksuba, and therefore she can collect Nefrash lo b'shua, without a shua. Mora says, how did she go collect? But my gavya, the high shtara, this shtar, it says 1,000. High shtara chas v'yamo. She's admitting that the shtar is worthless. She's saying the shtar is wrong. She's saying the shtar is not a legitimate shtar, because the shtar says he owes her 1,000. And she's saying, no, that's not true. It's only worth 100. So in what basis is she collecting? She doesn't even have a ksuba now. So I'm a rabbi, braid the rabbi. So rabbi, who's the son of rabbi, says, no. She admits that was the real ksuba that was written for her, but it was an exaggeration. Balmeris, amono haisali beini leveino. Listen, it didn't look good for him to write only a ksuba for $100. It makes her look like she's a nothing. So she said, listen, write in the ksuba, you give me $1,000, right? 1,000 zuz. And listen, you and I know it's only 100. I've only asked for 100. So this was the real ksuba. And she says, we had a deal that even though you wrote 1,000, I would only ask for 100 if you were to divorce me. And I'm being honest. And therefore, in this situation, I'm not a mode of mitzvahs in anything, but this is the ksuba that I'm collecting with. And therefore, you have to pay me the full 100. And she can do that. Nefrash shelo b'shvua. Then we call it the Mishnah that said, Eid echad me'ido shipruah. The next case in the Mishnah was, if a single witness came along and agreed with what the husband said, that he paid her, so then she has to go make a shvua if she wants to collect the ksuba. So, again, here we have the same thing that we had before with Rami Racham and Rava. I mentioned before, it's not that this happened at two separate times in the same exact discussion. This all happened at one time when they were discussing the Mishnah. Our Gemara just breaks it up into two separate discussions, but it was really one discussion at the same time. So, Sava Rami Racham Lamemar Shvua Daraisa. Rami Racham said again, this is a Shvua Daraisa based upon Dersiv, Lo Yakum Eid Echad Beish L'chol Avon U'l'chol Chatas. The Pasuk says that a single witness can't go and cause a man to get an avon or a chatas, to go and have to pay a penalty of any sort, or to go bring a chatas. It just doesn't work that way. So the whole avon, the whole chatas, who they no come. For bringing of a chatos or an avot, so that a single witness can't come and cause to do. However, avot kamu l'shua, but the implication is that, yes, you can't do avot and chatos, but you can make a shvua. And therefore, this is a shvua d'oraisa, based upon the implication of this pasuk. V'yamamar, and we learn further in the braisa, komakum shashnayim chayvin oso mamon echon mechayvu shvua. In a situation where if two witnesses would come along and say, yes, you owe the money, and two witnesses would believe, so if only one witness comes along, so then it's a shvua. And that's a shvua d'oraisa. That's what Rami Bar Chama said. And again, Rava responds in the same exact way. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvas b'tah. But there are two ways that we can show you that you're wrong. Number one, chodah d'chol nishbah shabatari nishbah melo mishamim v'hi nishbah and tell us. The normal shvua d'oraisa, vodav mitzvah, says you swear and you don't have to pay. Here, the woman is swearing and she's collecting. So therefore, that isn't the typical pattern, and therefore, that's number one why you're wrong. Number two, furthermore, v'od, einish bon, akvira shibut karkos. As we said before, the ksuba is connected to karka, and it's a lien on the karka. And if a person says, listen, you owe me two houses, and he says, no, I only owe you one, this karka is only one or two. You don't make a modi b'mitzvah shvua in that situation, because it's karka. And therefore, the ksuba is connected to shibut karkos, and therefore, it can't be a d'oraisa based upon these two points that Rava tells Rami Bar Chama. Ella what? Rava says the Rabban. Ella ma Rava, be the Rabban. Why? This is to make the husband, listen, he says, I paid you. And now you're going to collect without a shvua. So he says, okay, since you're claiming that you paid her, so we'll at least make a shvua. And this way we'll put you at ease, so to say. We'll say, okay, listen, maybe I made a mistake somehow. She's willing to swear that I didn't pay her. So therefore, it'll put the husband at ease. Kedil hof is daito shubal. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa continues and he says, and we turn to Pei Ches Amud Aleph. If he's a smart person in this situation where there's one witness that can testify that he paid back the wife, as Rashi says, if this Baal is a smart person, he can go Ma'isa Lolidei Shvua D'Oraisa. Rava had explained this is only a Shvua D'Rabban, and it's not as powerful, for whatever the reason, it's not as powerful as D'Oraisa, a whole separate discussion. Rashi has a different opinion than the other Rishonim on the Daf. So it's better to make it a shvua d'oraisa than a shvua d'rabbanan. So if the husband is smart, he can turn what Rava just said as a shvua d'rabbanan into a shvua d'oraisa. How do you go and do that? Ma'isa lo lidei shvua d'oraisa. How can he make her make a shvua d'oraisa? By the following. Yoav lo ksubasa biapei chad sada. So go and pay a ksuba in front of another single witness. And now, these two witnesses will combine. Now you'll have two witnesses, the first one that he had when he paid it the first time, and now I have a second witness that will testify that he paid it the second time. You combine these two witnesses, and now, and therefore, if you have two witnesses come along and say that she paid her ksuba, so one of the times is going to be alone, and therefore, in this way, she'll have to go make a shvua on the loan. Because each one is testifying. Now you have two witnesses testifying that she got her ksuba, but there are two payments involved, so one of them therefore has to be a milva. So in retrospect, he can make the first one into a milva, and now she's going to have to swear on a daraisa level. Because the husband is bringing her to the Beis Din, and he's telling the Beis Din, listen, I paid her ksuba twice. I obviously don't owe her two ksubas, so one time was a loan, so she owes me. So she has to swear. This is a shvua daraisa. More questions is and said, how can you tell me this? What are you talking about? This the two witnesses? They're not testifying about the same thing. Masik Lo Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi says, what are you talking about? Hech somich sato kama asad basra. The first witness is coming to testify about something totally different than the second witness is coming to testify about. Now Tosos has a big kash over here. Tosos says, he says, Tema, my kasha, why is that a problem? He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says this is actually allowed. That let's say you have Reuven testify that the litigant borrowed the money on a certain day, and Shimon comes along and testifies that the litigant borrowed the money on another day. So both of them are testifying that the guy that borrowed the money borrowed $1,000 from Levi. So therefore, you can't combine that. So, okay, so Tosus has a different understanding of this. In any event, right now we're just asking nice and simple. Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi says, these two witnesses are talking about two separate things. How can you now turn this into a Shvua D'Oraisa? You have one witness over here, you have one witness over there. Rava says, that's a Shvua D'Rabbanan. So therefore you're right. So, Elo Amar Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi, the way Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi would understand this is as follows. Yoav Lok Suboso Be'ape Sada Kama. This side of the basra. Don't give it just the ksuba the second time when you're paying it in front of one witness. No, bring the original first witness plus another witness and now pay off the ksuba. So now these two witnesses can come and say the ksuba isn't paid off. Therefore, if they're both testifying now that this was paid off. And now this other witness who was testifying that the ksuba was paid off also testifies on the first loan, which we're now calling a loan, that was the payment that the husband gave to the ksuba, so at least he can force a din daraisa in this situation. Again, Rav Ashi doesn't like this. Masik Rav Ashi, akati chol leneva, shtei ksubas havai. You know what? She could say, I have two ksubas, and therefore this is still only going to be a shur de rabbanon. There are two ksubas over here, and therefore there is no responsibility to say that there's the first one is definitely a lover. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, hello, Rav Ashi, who demod alahu. This is going to work, that it would be a shur deraisa. If the man is smart, he could go make this into a shur deraisa. So when he tells the two witnesses, before he makes the payment, listen, I want you to know that this is a loan over here. I am not really paying off the ksuba. I paid off the ksuba beforehand, and therefore, this isn't a second ksuba, and therefore, they can definitely state that this wasn't a second ksuba, and therefore, that would turn the shur that she has to make into a shur deraisa, according to Rava. And Rashi adds, and this will conclude today's shir, Rashi says that it's not typical for a woman to say that she has two ksubos. Lo matzis lemeima beis ksubos havu the milsa de lo shchichu. It's very, very unusual for a woman to have two ksubos. And therefore, she's not believed when she says this, and therefore, now it's going to be a shua de araisa. With this, we conclude today's shir.